doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you together on this Tuesday, October 13th. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you. We have a few people to celebrate with today. In fact, our very own Jackie, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday to you. She is here, part of the KSLM team, and I know it's going to be a fabulous day for her today. Also, you may know this person. I actually have spent time in radio with her. Her name is Janet Porter now, but she is known as Janet Folger. She is one of the very strong pro-life leaders out of the Ohio area. She is the Heartbeat Bill gal, and it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Janet, and happy birthday to a longtime friend of mine. She used to be in South Dakota. Now she's in Oklahoma. Her name is Debbie, and it's her birthday too as well. And so if it's your birthday, we celebrate with you, and so glad you're tuning in this morning. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. And a very important day on the calendar today. Today is the last day that we can get registered to vote. And I stumbled upon this. I'm a big fan of David Barton and Wall Builders, and I thought this is good. I'm going to share it with you right now.
I'm sure you've heard it by now. Vote. Make your voice heard. And at this point, I'm sure you're thinking, why bother? Why take 30 minutes out of your day to stand in line with strangers when at the end of it all, one vote is just a drop in the bucket? It's just one little vote out of millions and millions, and it doesn't really make a difference. Your voice by itself amounts to nothing more than a whisper, right? So maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, but there's 60 million committed Christians in the United States, and only about 30 million of them vote in any given election. Maybe the other 30 million are thinking what you're thinking. It's just one vote, so why bother? Perhaps one vote doesn't seem like a lot, but 60 million votes are. If 60 million like-minded Christians will cast their votes on Election Day, all those little drops will fill the bucket, and all those little whispers will add up to a very loud voice that will be heard and make a difference. So don't fool yourself into thinking that your vote doesn't matter, because it does. But what matters even more is who you influence to vote with you. It really comes down to faith and action. If all the Christians in America start joining their voices and their vote together, one by one, multiplied across the nation, we can change the course of our country. So make sure you vote. But first, you have to register. If you're not registered, you can't vote. Register today at www.wallbuilders.com/vote. It will take less than 2 minutes. And then, make sure you vote.
Very good reminder today on this registration, last day to register to vote. In fact, it's interesting for some of us that are tracking our registration. There are several folks that I've talked to that said, oh my goodness, somehow my registration isn't right, all of those kinds of things. And some people who have registered to vote, maybe you don't know if you're in the hopper yet. And I know our very own Terry, who's in the studio with me this morning.
Good morning
to you. Hey. And I got a team of co-hosts this morning. I got Josh in the studio too. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning.
That's good. He is the voice behind the morning. Yeah, between the two of you.
I'll be the bird. You do the singing.
Next time, we won't do the music. We'll just have you two do it. Thank you for being a part of the morning show.
Think of all those listeners we're going to lose.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. And, Terry, we sent off your registration, and we'll have to track that and see. And if you don't know for sure, it's not showing up. I encourage people, if you've done it by mail, maybe get on there and do it as well. Double. Not that
Where
you're trying to register.
How do you check that?
So you go to the website, the Oregon.gov, and look at elections, and we'll put a link up on our Facebook page and the Secretary of State side. And then Marion County as well has a link through the county elections. We can put that up on the website. But the Statesman Journal today has, in fact, a lot of stuff. This is interesting. They're really pushing for that mushroom to be the mandate on legalization of the mushroom. That's a big part of the front page of Above the Fold on the paper. I haven't read that one yet, but this says under the elections 2020, which I believe the Statesman Journal has been doing a fair job kind of highlighting our elected, our candidates. They're allocating a part of their bottom fold to candidates and issues. And this says, the last day to register to vote, the last day Oregonians can register to vote or confirm the registration that is up to date is today. The residents with internet access is the simplest way to get registered to vote, and you have up until midnight tonight. Those already registered but wanting to check their affiliation or mailing address can go to the same website and click My Vote tab. State and local election officials encourage all voters to check the registration, make sure it's current. As of September, 2.9 million voters were registered to vote, including 1 million Democrats and 750,718 Republicans. And here's a larger number than Republicans is 938,643 non-affiliated. And that is where the unknown part of this whole election process is. The 43,175 Democrats, we pretty much know where they're at. But I think some of them are pretty, you know, when we talk about these elections, it's an interesting place mm-hmm. to live. There are 14.5% more registered voters in the state now than during the last presidential election.
Whoa.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm guessing the ground gained there is in the non-affiliated, because in this state, from what I'm learning in just a short amount of time, and of course I've done some work in elections and I've worked for campaigns and things, and in this state, unfortunately, there are a lot of people that work in government, not just in the state government, county and city government. They're very, very conscientious of the fact that if people find out where they're lining up with, and if they're not lining up with the Democrats, since that's the supermajority, that there's a price to pay. Mm-hmm. They could be harmed in their career path if they're not lining up. And I think that's extremely wrong. I think, and I don't know, Josh, you've been here a lot longer than I have been. Really, are you hearing that? Are you finding that out as well?
I see it every day. I talk to people all the time that they're like, I can't talk about this. I know somebody that actually works in the governor's office, really close to her, and is pretty much against everything that she does, but she can't speak out against it and has to go along with it. So, you know, there's people like that everywhere. And so, yeah, the 14% thing is huge.
Yes.
And what would be a more interesting thing of how many of those people have moved here in the past 4 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, like the exodus from California that's happening right now. How many California voters are that? Is that 14%? That's a great question.
And how many of them are not following, you know, the mandates, and how many of them are not happy with what's going on? I know that hundreds of thousands of people that haven't been getting unemployment or in a timely manner awaited, you know, that aren't happy. They're business owners, yeah. you know, and all of these regulations and stuff. People are getting engaged for the very first time. And I don't know, Terry, when was the first time you ever voted? Have you voted every election?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Was if there was voting in 88, I voted mm-hmm. then.
Yep.
That's when I turned 18. So I'm trying to think. Ross Perot, I remember mm-hmm. voting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Ross Perot.
Way back
in
the day.
Like this. Yeah, if we can fix America, we can do it. I've got lots of money and I don't need yours.
And is that the reason, wasn't him in the race? Wasn't that kind of muddled the race and took votes away? And wasn't there a big controversy about that?
He had the right idea. I don't even know if he's still alive. I don't think he is he? But he would freak out at the numbers and the deficit. And he's like, look, folks, if we get past a certain point, there is no filling it back up. Mm-hmm. It's going to leak forever.
Yeah.
So
a businessman.
Didn't he end up dropping out? And then he said, they threatened my family.
Yeah,
I'm done.
That seems like the
truth. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Who's known for threatening the family? Who was president that year?
Oh, yeah, right? I'm telling you that
there is so much
controversy and things going on. We were just talking, coming into the studio this morning, as they're day two now of the Supreme Court confirmation, and they're doing the hearings. And what did they say? How many hours?
11 hours.
11.
She
11
has to sit in there.
11 hours.
Questioned.
And each
That'd
person.
That'd be tough for anybody.
I can't imagine.
I don't want to spend 11 hours with my own family.
Most people can't even sit in church for an hour, let alone.
Sorry, Mom, 11 hours. Can't do it. Just kidding, Mom.
Dessert's over. Okay, I'm out.
Tears are falling in Arkansas.
I'm out of here. Well, I think, you know, as far as Amy is concerned and going for this seat, you know, I heard a little bit of her testimony yesterday, and I've heard her talk that, you know, they weighed out as a family, you know, to move forward or not.
Oh, yeah.
And look at all from every angle. And, you know, when you're a mom and a wife and a career, you know, this is like a dream come true when you're entering law school, you know, to have that ability to be on the Supreme Court. I mean, you know, it's a huge responsibility.
Especially right now in the times that we're at.
Right.
You know, some of the decisions that she may be a part of, you know, for even the next couple of years are going to be detrimental to, you know, the stake of the country.
Yes. And she's going to be right in the middle of it in the time of her life. And so when we think about our calling, each of us have an individual calling on our lives and responsibility and things. And I was reading and listening to something today that I thought was really, really, really crucial. We talk a lot about our rights. We talk a lot about our rights and our right to bear arms and our right to free speech and our rights that were constitutionally guaranteed. We don't talk as much, and I think that's what's missing in our society right now, about responsibility. I think we have a responsibility to register to vote. I think we have a responsibility to get involved in the process. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think everybody should vote. It'd be really telling, because if you get people involved and they start to get a taste of being involved, just even at a micro level, there's going to be people, other people that get involved. You know, I think another thing with the amount of unregistered or unaffiliated voters in the degree that we have, a lot of people are probably frustrated with our leadership. It's been a lot of the same old, you know, business as usual, you know, all this stuff going on. And so people are like, well, I can't really align with the Republican Party. I can't align with the Democratic Party. This state is kind of a big cluster, so I'm going to be unaffiliated. But getting new people in is going to really kind of stir the pot a little bit. Mm-hmm. And hopefully maybe we can get, you know, some more Republicans.
The gentleman that you had in here from Almsville,
mm-hmm.
the mayor.
Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a great example. You know, some things were going on. He really didn't pay attention to politics and whatnot. And then he's like, what? What is this fee thing? And so he got involved, made a stand, and now he's part of it. He loves being in the process. Other folks saw, hey, he's a regular guy. Maybe I can make a difference too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when it comes to voting, we're fortunate enough that we can vote and that it's an actual vote. And so, yeah, get out there, participate. You'll feel good about it.
And I think it's such an amazing opportunity to make a difference. And I think you said this before, Terry, about one individual alone, but all together, kind of like a bumblebee.
Yeah.
The power of that.
The bees can drive away a bear.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good analogy this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, in the studio with Josh and Terry. They're my co-hosts today. We're going to do a weather update and a road report when we come back.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in this morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. 1220 AM, 104.3 FM, and online. Hi, I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with Terry and Josh, as they are my co-hosts, and I've tasked them to give us an update. Terry, start with you with the weather.
Well, today we're looking at a high of 63, low tonight of about 46. Continued rain through the afternoon, should be tapering off this evening. So, yep, scattered, splattered. That's a
scattered, splattered
technical term.
And Josh, how about the road report?
Well, driving down the road, it was pretty good, and wasn't a lot of traffic out there, so
okay.
It was pretty clear right now.
Pretty clear. No critters in the highway either.
It's COVID
huh?
free.
Yes, and it's interesting. We're about around the corner from the time change, right? So this time of year is always such a big transition. At 7 o'clock, it starts getting dark at night, and then sooner and sooner, and it's like, I just want to just settle in and
I've been meaning to fix the clock in my car. Now I don't have to.
Oh, it's all you'll be at your head.
Yes.
That's funny. Oh my gosh, we're having fun this morning. And first of all, we want to give a shout out to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. And Bill's got his brand new website up and going, sunderlandagency.com. If you have any insurance needs, any financial planning needs, really encourage you to get a hold of Bill. 503-885-0789. Again, SunderlandAgency.com.
I wish I would have met him in my 20s.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's just a...
He's got people, a lot of wisdom.
Oh, he does. He really mm-hmm. does. And the things you can start doing now, early. Mm-hmm. And you won't miss that little bit of money every month. And what a difference it will make.
Yeah.
50, 60, 70.
Yep. And his wisdom, no matter where you're at, he certainly has some good insight. And
it's never too late to start.
And he knows. I didn't even realize. And next time I have him on the air, I want to ask him about pet insurance.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal.
And that is a big deal, and pets are a big deal.
Well, you know, they're like value. Your kid, so, you know, if your child gets hurt, then take them to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Whatever it costs, you'll mm-hmm. pay. Some of these folks have their fur babies.
Yes.
You know, and it's hundreds or maybe thousands of dollars in insurance.
Right.
Takes
and they
care of that.
And they really recommend if you're alone and you to have a pet.
Yeah.
It's important to have a pet, that companion, whether it be a dog or a cat. Do you have any pets, Josh?
Yeah, I have a dog.
You do? Oh, yes, you do.
Soon to have another one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, not
yes.
two.
Yes. And Josh's dog is quite the character, Lincoln, right?
Yeah, he's a handful.
He's got a personality.
Every time I get a chance to grab him, he's a handful.
Definitely a bagel. We call him a bagel.
A bagel. Oh, my gosh. So we were at Josh's watching the presidential debate, and the dog thought we were his play toys. That was pretty fun.
Try to get into my Taco Bell.
Oh, my gosh. So as we are talking this morning about voter registration and the responsibility that we have to participate, right, and be a part of this great opportunity of exercising our right to vote, what the stats are, I don't know how many people live in the state of Oregon. I don't know. I guess we can Google
it's
it.
It's like 3.5 million.
3.5 million.
Hmm. Maybe 3.3.
And a little over 2 million.
Don't fact check me.
Yeah, over 2 million are registered to vote. So there's a huge, still,
I just can't imagine
amount of
that
people,
many people
that.
A third, mm-hmm. you know.
Unless it's all kids and they're underage. I don't know.
I don't know how that works.
I would think not so much here. And that's another demographic that'd be interesting to know, to look up and. Is the per household children, I would think the numbers are lower here in Oregon than they would be in other states, too. Kind of
why.
An interesting thing. Abortion's really high and a priority and a value of at least the elected. maybe not so much of...
4.3 million.
So
it's increased. They just did the census. We forgot.
Right,
so,
right.
We had an increase of about 1 million.
Incredible. In a little over 2 million registered to vote. So interesting facts there. And I don't know if any of you, our listeners, know of anybody that's just got registered to vote for the very first time.
That'd be interesting to hear.
I know somebody, and they're in Oregon. And it's a friend that I've known. They were neighbors growing up. And for the first time in forever, they've never voted. And they've never been registered to vote. They've just done their thing, mm-hmm. have a business, you know, participate in life. But they know how important it is. And I believe my influence and my mother's influence and watching us talk about it on Facebook and the importance said, what do I do? How do I do this? Mm-hmm. And that's really encouraging. And so a shout out to all of you who've decided to throw your hat in and say, yeah, I think I'm going to try this. I'm going to vote.
Local. They're voting mm-hmm. local for yes. the people. That, I mean, that has a direct effect on you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And having us living in Arkansas and still having a homestead there, mm-hmm. we had a choice, too. Yeah. Are we going to vote here or are we going to vote there?
We're going to help you folks
and
out.
And we're going to help out.
Bing, 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 bing,
so many people are leaving the state. We're coming to the state. Yeah. To help.
Arkansas is good to go. You folks need help. So.
I think it's an interesting season. You know, when we talk about the factors that are influencing, and we're almost through into a break here, but I want to get into the next segment. I want to talk a little bit about the pressures that people are feeling in their day-to-day life that would influence their vote, right? Jeff had a powerful morning this morning talking about the polls and talking about our emotions and how our feelings.
How does it make you feel?
Yeah, how does it make you feel?
And I think I want to go into that a little bit because
yeah.
I think we minimize the feeling factor, and it's so real.
It's a real thing.
It is a real thing, yeah. and we kid with it about yeah. the snowflakes, and we kid about it with, you know, people being triggered and all of these things that we're tiptoeing around in our culture right now and cancel culture, but these are issues that are affecting everything.
Human nature.
It's human nature. And oftentimes when I've seen an article and they're talking about the masks and all of this, and usually it's a news station yeah. propagating the fear, mm-hmm. I'll come back and say, there you go, you're being complicit, you know, with fear. Mm-hmm. And I'll have about 50 people saying, what, are you saying masks don't work? You know,
right.
things, I don't even engage them.
I know that.
You
I
can't,
don't even engage
yeah,
them.
Engage.
It's not even worth it, but it's good to throw those questions out there
mm-hmm.
and keep throwing them out there and have people think about this. You're drinking the Kool-Aid, I think,
yeah.
and the facts don't line up. And so we're going to get into some of those stats and some of those articles when we come back from this break. And we will open up the phone lines. You're certainly welcome to join the
Any
conversation
first-time
this morning.
Or registers.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to hear if you mm-hmm. or someone in your family registered for the first time. Give us a
yeah.
call. 503-589-1220, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this wonderful Tuesday and every day. Give us a call, 503-589-1220.
Josh is doing the happy dance.
Oh, that's what the happy dance looks like.
Oh, my.
Oh, we should get
my
that.
Eyes, my eyes.
You we'll can't unwatch that.
We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. October 13th. And we're moving right along on the fall schedule, and we're in the middle of an election season. If you didn't know, you might be asleep because it's all around. And right now, this morning, we're in the middle of day two of the confirmation hearing of Amy Coney Barrett. And it's interesting because we're even on Facebook and people are commenting and things, and it sounds like it's getting really good. And so if you're not listening to us today, you're probably watching the hearings or perhaps, but she's very, very smart and she's well prepared for this role, and she has accepted the responsibility to move ahead. And I'm impressed. And when you think about the Supreme Court as a lifetime appointment.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, with all of these governmental shutdowns and all of these governments, primarily the Democrat governments, although we are seeing in Arkansas now Asa Hutchinson, who is the he's a Republican governor there. He's like starting to, and I don't know, I guess there's a governor race there. Do you know?
I got to
do our research yeah. there and touch in with some of our Arkansas
folks. Hey,
Mom, could
you give us a call?
Yeah, give us an update. Yeah, call in now. Give us an update.
Hello.
Right. You know, the lockdowns, I'm wondering, and I know we've tried in Oregon, and although I think around the corner there's a federal challenge, but there on the state Supreme Court, we've tried to challenge the overreach of Governor Brown here in Oregon, the citizens,
mm-hmm.
many different ways, and it's very discouraging. Now there's some federal challenges, I think, coming
yeah.
down the pike. But it'll be interesting, and Josh, you know, now the WHO is reversing the recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a little information I want you to share on that. But what I'm wondering at is if some of these things will get to the Supreme Court.
Well, most certainly. Here's something interesting. You know, when the lockdown first started in March, you know, when you go to Best Buy or you go on the phone with Xfinity or whoever, or even a lot of the pamphlets that they put on the door, mm-hmm. they would always reference, due to the World Health Organization recommendations or mm-hmm. the, you know, things like that. So this is the official who's urging now leaders to stop using the lockdowns as a primary virus control method, basically stating that it doesn't work. It's meant to essentially shift some resources to be able to be more prepared for if a pandemic actually spirals out, but it wasn't made to be a permanent thing. They're stating the effects are going to far outweigh or the solution's going to far outweigh the actual problem mm-hmm. To where more people are going to die and starve to death in the third world. You know, we're going to have a depression here, but in third world countries, it's just mass starvation and everything associated with, because we're all interconnected and people right. don't understand that. So,
well, when you think the generosity of the American culture to some of these other cultures, if we're just focusing on our own survival, we don't have extra overflow to help these other nations out. You know,
times were tough for them anyway.
Right.
During a normal season.
But even the demand.
And the demand, yes.
Think of the market shifts mm-hmm. that have happened. Think of all the times and places and energies and things that you would be buying that you aren't anymore. And you're mm-hmm. not doing this and we're not doing that. We can't do this. We can't do that. Well, all those industries kind of spiraled over.
Right.
And that kind of bleeds out into those third world, you know, developing countries where there's manufacturing mm-hmm. For things like that. So it's...
Well, and they're reversing this, but I'm not seeing anybody acting on it. And maybe that's because now they've been defunded. maybe people think that they're not a viable source of information anymore. But I know that even the CDC, and if someone has, I need to find the link on this, but I read through and saw that of the numbers that have passed away or been affected by COVID, they were asked the question, how many of them were wearing masks? And it was interesting, over 80% of the people affected by COVID were wearing masks almost 100% of the time. And so again, it seems like, okay, Stacey, here you go again on the mask issue. But it seems like if it was so effective, mm-hmm. and everywhere I go, people are wearing the mask, and they're wearing it not like I wear it. Yeah. They're wearing it over their nose.
How effective is it in a restaurant? If you go out to eat at all, or if you ride on an airplane, it's not effective, period. You've just got exposed.
Yeah.
Because you take it off. You take the mask off to eat. Mm-hmm. You take the mask off on an airplane, you're shoulder to shoulder to drink a little glass of water or eat a peanut.
Mm-hmm.
So, bam, thousands and thousands, maybe millions. I don't know how many people fly every day, but every one of them exposed.
Yeah, and so
even if
I don't
they wear their mask.
And those that are wearing the mask most of the time, still, again, if it's so effective, it seems like to me, you'd almost like in the olden days where someone in the neighborhood got the chicken pox, mm-hmm. you know, you'd almost want to expose them, get it over with, you know, kind of thing. And I think the more that we know about this virus, the more that we know 99% survival rate, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And there are, you know, exceptions and there's certain populations and demographics you obviously don't want to expose to it.
Sure.
But just like anything, you'd self-quarantine them. But you don't mm-hmm. have to shut down the whole country. You don't have to shut down the hardworking people that are capable and have good immune systems and, you know, our business owners or employees or anything. It just doesn't make sense. You know, the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Well, and the presumptive numbers into the mix makes it muddied waters, I think, because, you know, 2 days, 3 days ago, it was 400 and some confirmed and presumptive cases here in Oregon, and then like yesterday it was 200 and some, and so it's up and down, and it's not being sincere, I don't believe, when you don't know who the confirmed cases are, and they
exactly.
don't go back and adjust their
and
numbers.
You don't know the oversight. You can't really dig into it too much because of HIPAA.
Mm-hmm.
So how and where and what's the oversight of this happening? You know, with where do these numbers come from?
Right.
Who's issuing these numbers? you know, is it independently? Is it monitored? Is mm-hmm. there like a platform that everybody's going to and registering and
right.
submitting? You know, how is that happening and how are we able to give it some type of oversight?
And how are we giving it the legit authority that it has to affect everybody's lives? And
exactly.
it trickles over into the school system right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to remind folks that you still have time to be heard. And I think it's almost time to get back with our friend Susan Gallagher and do an update with her on Oregon, on our parental rights and all across the nation. But here in Oregon, parents, there's a state board meeting being held October 15th. And we want to make sure that your comments are put into the minutes. We need to speak up for children. And I'd say parents and grandparents alike, this hearing is going to be pretty important. And more and more schools are sending out notices that they will delay returning to in-person learning until next year, February sometime. And this is just not acceptable. So you want to email stateboard.publicemail@ode.state.or.us. That's kind of long, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page. You know, these schools here in Salem Kaiser Public Schools, I think they're having a Zoom meeting, some kind of meeting today. And it's important, again, the closer you are to it, the more you need to be heard. You need to get in the notes, in the minutes. You have to step up, step out of your comfort zone, mm-hmm. which isn't easy.
Participate.
But last week, again, Danielle Bethel, who is a Salem Kaiser School Board member, she is the leader and director of Kaiser Chamber. And then she's also running for Marion County position mm-hmm. on the commission. She said, okay, I'll step out there and I'll be, but I need you to do your part, you mm-hmm. know? And I thought that was so good. We all need to do our part. And so with the schools, Josh, you know, this is impacting you. You're a father of young children. Your kids are going to go through the school system. You know, this is affecting you. You know, our kids are raised. It's affecting our grandchildren. But talk to us a little bit about, as a parent, what do you think other parents and grandparents can do to be heard?
So I think really what it comes down to is, you know, be brave and be bold. A lot of people that I talk to don't like everything that's going on. They don't like the recommendations. They don't like the distance learning. It's destroying careers. It's destroying, you know, the socialization of kids and giving them the ability to make friends and hang out and play outside with each other and kind of develop those skills. Locking them into a closet and giving them a computer is just, it's so bad for their mental health, just at the child level, right? So I guess that's first and foremost is, you know, parents need to be brave about, you know, speaking out against it. But I talked to the superintendent at my school. I talked to the principal. I talked to the teachers back in July before the school season even started. And I was like, hey, what's your plan? You know, you guys, you're a private school and you're supposed to be operating as such. Why are you conforming to all this public nonsense? Mm-hmm. You know, here's the science, here's the science, here's the science. The kids just at that age bracket, virtually none of them are getting sick and none of them are dying from the COVID.
Right.
So just the fact that they're having that and they're mandating all these lockdowns, and I don't see it going away. And I think I told you guys on the mm-hmm. radio a couple months ago that, you know, everybody's like, oh, November 3rd. If you think that that's going to be the case where they're just going to open everything up November 3rd, then I got a bridge to sell you. And you know what? Joe Biden's going to be president too. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing. And they're using this and they're not ever planning on having it go away. It's never going to go away unless people get involved, unless people go to these parent meetings, unless people unenroll their kids and tell the Department of Education, hey, we're not going to put up with this. Hey, we're going to do our own thing. You have to reach out. You have to be uncomfortable. You have to push yourself on your daily routines. Get off of your Netflix. Get off of your TV. You have to be more involved now and get involved in your kids. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your real neighbors mm-hmm. that actually live next to you, you know, with kids, and how are they doing it? And maybe do a co-op.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get them in a homeschool program. Find a teacher that maybe isn't working right now, or a teacher that doesn't like wearing a mask, or a teacher that doesn't like being in an empty classroom.
That's really good.
Talk to them and maybe hire them. Get a community of people and hire them together and get your homeschool kids. You don't have to be in the system.
We can be empowered. We can be creative. We can think outside of the box. But moreover, putting our children and our community first is so critically important at this time. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this.
Hey, yeah, you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Oh, it's a beautiful day, definitely a fall day. 58 degrees at the KSLM studios, and we're continuing to enjoy cooler weather, perhaps a little bit of rain today. And the next few days, though, temperatures in the 60s. And as we look towards the weekend, there's some activities to look forward to. Continuing with the 40 Days for Life here in Salem from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. through the 1st of November, prayer vigils and rallies outside Planned Parenthood. So that's something we can continue to pray with them and certainly show up and be a part of that. We've got a couple events going on this weekend. In fact, Saturday, I don't know if you or a loved one's been impacted by cancer. I know my life has by family members that I've known that both have passed and have succeeded in defeating cancer. It's important that we all remember those in our lives that have been contending. And the Love and Walk and Run is at the Salem Kaiser Volcano Stadium, easy for me to say, this Saturday at 8 a.m. is check-in, 9 p.m. it kicks off, and you can bring your team or you can walk as an individual. All the information at kicking-cancer.org/programs. And then the City of Adamsville, as we learned yesterday, they're having a big fundraiser on Saturday. They're doing a campaign for families affected by the wildfires, and they're doing all kinds of fun events there in Adamsville on Saturday. And so there's some information on our Facebook page with that. And I want to thank Dave and Paige Smith. They are morning show sponsors with One Realty Group, I'll get that right. Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you. Dave and Paige Smith will help you with any of your real estate needs. Give them a call, 503-939-7099. Continuing the conversation this morning with Terry and Josh in the studio, and we were talking about, you know, COVID and the elected leaders making the decisions and how it's affecting us in school and what the numbers are for real and if they'd be real honest. You're kind of looking at the stats there, Terry. What do you see?
Well, you know, as I read this, and, you know, it's just sometimes it makes me crazy. There is, let's see. Now, you know, 220 people hospitalized with confirmed or suspected. What percentage is confirmed? What percentage is...
That's the key.
Mm. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, why don't you ask statesmen where they get their numbers?
And
ask them, yeah, the breakdown.
And in big bold, it says death toll remains at 599. Well, you know, I was just watching a thing on YouTube. This was 5 months ago. This doctor lady's on here, and she's like, how COVID deaths are classified. Mm. As you read it and as she talks, she says, they could be in hospice. They could literally have three weeks to live.
Right.
And if they pass, and this is right here on YouTube, she said, it will be counted as a COVID death. Well, when I see 599, hey, it's tragic. I get that. But, you know, if it's COVID or they passed from whatever and they had COVID in them, that is different. And the people, and again, I feel like we're beating a dead horse sometimes.
I know.
But it's just, people need to know there's a difference.
But when else and where else? Like, I was thinking about this, Josh, in school. When we had to do research papers and things, even when I was in college, you couldn't just throw false facts or unsupported facts out there in your documents that you're trying to get a grade for. Your teacher would come unglued.
It had to be backed up.
And it's been 26 years since
footnotes
I was in. You had to
page.
Have complete.
And, I didn't
and
do
if
any
there
of
was,
those things.
If there was any hint of plagiarism, any hint of not having any kind of support, and just what I like, Bill O'Reilly uses the word bloviate, you know, just trying to throw things mm-hmm. out there and expand them and exaggerate or whatever. And then there, so this is a huge exaggeration in a sense that they're basing judgments and
policy
and dictating in a sense mm-hmm. how we're living our life.
Well, and there's another thing that's not even mentioned in there too, and that's the testing in itself. Is that testing has 66% false positives. So even if you come back as a confirmed COVID case, you still could potentially not have COVID because the test itself is wrong. And there's no oversight with that. So the NFL team, I forgot which what it was, but 100 of them came back, tested positive. The NFL team came back and they ran a test again, positive, came back, tested again, all of them negative.
Unbelievable.
And so what's true and what's not, you know, even the guy that developed the test, the main one that they mass produced in the United States, he says this test should not be used for COVID. It's inaccurate.
Whoa.
Because it tests for a protein that is within the COVID coronavirus, but the coronavirus family itself is a vast majority of different types of colds and illnesses. So it's the coronavirus protein that they're looking for, not the COVID-19 protein specifically.
Unbelievable.
And so the test in itself is potentially false.
So when you think about, they're saying, follow the science. This is
trust
all based
science.
On science. Hello.
Selective science.
Yeah, if it fits their agenda and
sure.
where they want to go in the future. But, so who's making the decisions here in Oregon?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm glad mm-hmm. that you asked that. So as far as the Department of Education goes and the lockdown that's happening with the schools and the mandates and the distance learning stuff, there's four contenders that are kind of in charge of this. One, obviously, yeah, it's the governor, and everybody wants to blame everything on the governor. But these people, I don't think, want to be seen or heard. So there's four people. The first one is the OHA, the Oregon Health Authority Director, Pat Allen. And the OHA epidemiologist, Dean Seinlinger, and the president of the OEA is John Larson, and then the ODE director, Colt Gill. Those four people are the ones that are initiating. And so what's interesting is now that the World Health Organization has now come out and said, hey, these lockdowns don't work. Let's reverse that. It's going to do a lot more damage than good. Let's reverse that. So how about we all reach out to these people mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. say, hey, listen.
Follow the science.
Trust the science. It's all there. People aren't dying. You know, 599 in Oregon. I just did the calculation. That's 0.0139%.
Of our population.
Of our population of Oregon. So I don't know about you, but I think a lot more people are dying from heart disease and cancer and breast cancer.
And lack of care because of the lockdowns. Well, they can't get access to the care that they need for their other things.
They can't get the surgeries they need.
And the people that don't want to go into a hospital and wear a mask, think about those people that they're like, oh, I'll put it off. And so something could potentially be festering that they don't know about. They're not going to the doctor. They're not getting the normal care because they don't feel comfortable leaving their house. So there's a huge factor in that too.
Oh, the rippling effect just continues on and on and on. We'll get those names and phone numbers or emails or whatever, and we'll put that up on our Facebook page too, Josh. Thank you for looking that up. And as we complete this hour and we wrap up kind of this hour of talking about kind of the state of the state, talking about voter registration, how we need to get engaged in the process and where what's affecting our day-to-day lives, why we need to vote. Any last thoughts before we head out in this hour?
When you think about whether you want to vote or not, think about your local government. Start mm-hmm. there. The people that directly influence what you do every day.
That's great. How about you, Josh, before we head into hour two?
Yeah, absolutely. Start at the local level. That's really important.
So get out there and make sure that your registration is current. If you're not registered to vote, make sure that you register to vote. Make sure that your family and friends are registered to vote, too. That's the first step, getting everybody registered. There's several thousands, even a million people or so not registered right here in Oregon. That could really affect things in the future. Let's get it done. Go get it done today.
Come on, rednecks. We need you.
We'll be back after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to go up into hour two after this. We'll be back.